Trudy, you've hinted at all sorts of interesting things that you did after you left Carolina. Elaborate more on your time in Europe and Casablanca and New York.
Well, I was lucky to right out of college to cover the Senate of the General Assembly in 1947 for Associated Press. And I thought, well, that was going to be my entree to go overseas with AP, which was my ultimate dream. Dillard Graham was head of AP, and the offices were down in Charlotte, but I worked for Ralph Howland, and had covered the legislature and covered committee meetings, and I can't believe I had the confidence that I did to do it, but I really loved that period. I learned an awful lot, and I remember Roland Gitter says, I came back to Chapel Hill to speak to a class, and what advice did I give them? And I'd forgotten I'd said this. He said, learn everything you can. You'll need everything you can. Always try to learn, and which is true. You really had to be on your toes when you would go and need background for these stories. Because, you know, writing a news story is like an iceberg. If you do a good job, the top of the story is right, the tip of it. So Ed Rankin was up at that time as press secretary to Senator Umstead. And he said, if you want to go overseas, come on up and I'll set up some interviews for you. So I went up there and I got interviewed by Air Force and Civil Service. And he arranged two or three interviews. And all of them were interested, but I couldn't type. And women in those days had to type. And I'd been typing on a portable since I was 13 with two fingers. And I couldn't learn to use 10 fingers. So Saturday morning, I went down and had breakfast with Ed in the Senate office building. And we went up to see Senator Huey's office. Now, Senator Huey, I'd covered some of his speeches when I was in Southern Pines. And I said, I'd like to see him. And, you know, they're always nice to reporters. But got there, he wasn't there, but Kid Brewer was there, his press secretary. And Kid said, well, have you been over to state and talked to anyone over there? And Ed said, no, I didn't think about that. He said, well, she wants to go over, state would be the way to go. He said, let me call Jack Purifoy, who was deputy secretary of state under George Marshall. So he called him. He said, come on out, he'll interview you. I took a taxi out to State Department, new state, and went up there, and he talked to me about 30, 45 minutes. And I couldn't believe I got back to Lumberton, where I was working then on the papers. And Monday afternoon at 5:30, I got a special delivery letter, airmail, appointing me to Foreign Service to report January 6, 1948. So I went up prepared to go overseas, and I thought I was going to Antwerp. But they were filling all the posts at that time with people who were in posts behind the Iron Curtain. You know, they were closing the Iron Curtain. And rather than bring these people home before their two-year tour was up, they would fill the spot. So I was prepared to go to Antwerp. And so for 6 months, I was planning for that. And lo and behold, my time came, and I was sent to London to work with USIS under Mallory Brown, who was with the New York Times. The woman I worked for, after my appointment, I got to work to the recruitment officer. I was secretary to the recruitment officer for 3 months, and then they put me over to a little newspaper with McFarland. And so that enabled me to get a better job, no more money, but a better job with U.S. Information Service. So I went to London, and Mallory Brown had not come. I went in July, and he was not to come until October. Meanwhile, the DP program was being set up in Germany. And so they said, we need someone with experience in visas, so we will pick them from all over. So they picked two people from the London Embassy, and I was one of them. One had been there 30 years, and I'd been there 4 months. So I went to Munich, and after I'd been there 15 months, they said that we need someone with experience in visas. I was a code clerk in Munich because they had no information service there, and which I loved. I loved the code work. And so they said, we need someone who's experienced. So they put me in Ludwigsburg, the only girl in a DP office. And so I worked there for 6 months, and I finally came home. I'd been overseas over 2 years then. But I went to New York and worked for Voice of America. And also I didn't have a job. My first job was with Ken Murray when he had those Saturday night show. Mm-hmm. And I was Girl Friday. I used to have to check changes in the script. I didn't do any writing, except I did write his letters. He'd say, write a letter to Dick Powell and tell him we look forward to those cookouts we had, you know, that sort of thing. But then I got a job with Voice of America, and then I met some people from Casablanca, from North Carolina, who'd come back from Casablanca. They were building air bases there for city. You remember General LeMay, Curtis LeMay. He was starting his, they built SAC bases in five different places in Morocco. This was 1951. And so since I had been overseas, and was very acceptable. And so they hired me, and so I went over to CASA for a year while they were building air bases. And I did a little newspaper for Atlas Constructors, you know, just a little news about I was in. That was continued my writing to some extent. And then I came back and went to work at Burlington Industries for John Harden. And I worked there until I got married. And, of course, I met my husband there. I'd met Emmett before, but Emmett Atkins had taken Ed Rankin's place working for John. And so we decided to get married. He didn't want to get married. He was 38 and I was 28. And I didn't want to get married, but when he found out I didn't want to get married, he became determined. So we were on again, off again, so we did get married, and we had a wonderful life for 43 years. But anyway, so then I went to work for the Children's Home Society, public relations, and then I went to work at the university for 17 years doing editing their publications. And
UNCG?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then I went to work for Bill Friday. I guess on my tombstone, I should say she worked for Bill Friday because he was the legend. And so I worked for him his last 3 years. And once he retired, though, my husband said, you're no longer working for the legend. You got to come home. And so I came home. I stayed on with Dick Spangler for about 6 months. And I really loved working for Bill Friday, though. I guess I learned as much as I ever could learn after that. And then I came home, and at my age, there was not every job there, but Jerome Melton was superintendent of Guilford County Schools. And so he asked me to come to work for him. And so I worked for him 2 years, and I couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't either. He retired, and I retired. And then the schools merged. You know, it was terrible situation. And right when the day that I left the school system, the woman who was doing the writing for my husband's company, my son had joined my husband by then. He had graduated from Duke, unfortunately. And so he said, the writer is having a baby. Wouldn't you like to come in and do our writing? I said, well, yeah. And so for the first 6 months, Emmett, every time he saw me in the hall, my son asked me to come in. He said, why don't you go home? And he didn't want me in the office because I had too many unworkable ideas with an occasional good one. And so after 6 months, he was delighted to have me, and we had a wonderful. I remained there from 86 on, and that's where we are right now.
Okay.